When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. We are live for real this time on YouTube, recapping the highs and lows from WWE SummerSlam, going down live from Cleveland Brown Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to a very special live edition of The Wrap for your listening and viewing pleasure. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you live on YouTube. Once a month, he comes to you perky, happy, enthusiastic, and not salty for now, but I bring to you back on YouTube the one, the only, Perky Scott Young. Welcome back, Perky.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited. The God mode is back. The OTC sounded like a trout or something, but it's okay. We in here. I'm excited.
Did you say sound like a trout?
Old Trout Crew.
Old Trout Crew.
The OTC.
I hope that never sticks. The Old Trout Crew.
Don't let Rock get a hear of that, because, you know, he's going to throw that out to the crowd.
Oh, my God. He probably will, and get it over somehow, some way, because that is what The Rock does best. Getting over crazy catchphrases such as Old Trout Crew. But yes, as expected, Roman Reigns did make his return at SummerSlam tonight at Cleveland Brown Stadium during the main event, which we'll get to momentarily. But Scott, you know I got to do it. I need your snap take, immediate reaction to the remix to Roman Reigns' theme music.
Well, it's definitely not the remix to Ignition. I'm gonna be honest, the crowd was so loud. I couldn't really hear it. Definitely don't enjoy it as much as I would have enjoyed the OG one for at least his return. It wasn't Death Rebel to the point where I hate it off top. So I'll give it a shot. I'll see how it sounds on SmackDown.
Yeah, the crowd was loud, thankfully, because Roman is so over that they, like, absorb the music. Thankfully, I heard it. I'm like, well, this is not the song that I remember off top. So I'm like, who did this arrangement? Who decided to do a remix? I know that he's a babyface now, but his theme is so great that it can carry over as a babyface. There's no need to tinker with it. I will wait and see on SmackDown how it sounds. If it doesn't sound good, he needs to make an executive decision and go back to what he had before. First listen, I wasn't impressed by the remix, I'm being honest with you. Like, it works for The Rock because he had Jim Johnson back in the day doing his music, the king of WWE theme songs. Death Rebel is very hit and miss with his selections, but I'm hoping that I hear it on Friday on Fox and hopefully it sticks a bit better. But in this rare case, he's so great, the fans absorb the music, and for that, it is a bless.
Yeah, you know, if anything, my man should have just went with if Death Rebel was going to do a new theme for him, it should have just been brand new from scratch. But it is what it is. Death Rebel is by far the weakest link, and it's time for him to say goodbye.
Yes, thank you so much, Jane Lynch, for saying that, for telling Def Rebel to pack his bags and go home like it's America's Next Top Model. You know, there's nothing for you here anymore. Please go. But yeah, his music is very hit and miss. He's Bloodline bulletproof mostly, but the other songs, definite choices. But we're going to see. I'm going to give it a trial probationary run on Friday. If I don't like it by then, veto. But let's dive into tonight's SummerSlam going down live in Cleveland, Ohio. So, Scott, we got a different set for this PLE. I thought it looked very clean and sleek and nice. It wasn't recycled. I liked the overall visuals of the show, the graphics detailing the weight and height and the credentials of the stars coming out. Very ESPN-ish because the guy that runs production is from ESPN. So I like that. Overall, I enjoy the overall presentation of SummerSlam outside of the ref cam in the ear, which was a definite choice.
It was okay. You know, like during the CM Punk, Drew McIntyre match, you could have called that the Jack Perry view. there are options out there. But yeah, it is what it is. But I agree with you. The presentation was good. I do like the graphics. The SummerSlam records are always cool. Like I always enjoyed the fact that they used to bring up certain wrestlers who were undefeated or had winning records. So that was a nice touch right there. One thing that WWE does really well is the presentation as far as that stuff, especially lately. But yeah, this was a good presentation. Very good.
Yes, I agree. As we dive into our first match of the night, which was for the WWE Women's World Championship, it was Liv Morgan, the champion, versus Rhea Ripley, the challenger, with Dirty Dominic Mysterio by her side. And we figured something was going to happen during this match. I expect the shenanigans. And we got them. But before we got to the shenanigans, I thought that the body of the match between Rhea and Liv was quite good. We had a scary spot early on when Liv slammed Rhea's shoulder first into the ring post and Rhea's shoulder legitimately got dislocated and it was out of socket for a bit. And then Rhea fights back and she goes on the outside and she uses the announce table to snap her arm back in place. Did that a couple of times during this match. So I hope that her arm is not seriously injured, but I love the power that Rhea displays as always. I thought the wrestling was very good. And I thought they was kicking things into the next gear when the finish happened. But overall, I like the action and we'll get to the finish momentarily. But Scott, your thoughts on the wrestling between Liv and Rhea during this championship bout?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was carried by the crowd reaction, which is fine. Long as you do your job in the ring, then you can let the crowd do the rest. And the crowd reacted accordingly. The first shoulder pop, I thought that, you know, the crowd reacted really well and Rhea sold it well, Liv sold it well. I thought the last few minutes of it really had the crowd invested. The first couple bit was fine. Rhea really dominated, was really in control. But I thought that last little bit, they really kind of did take it to another gear. But it was okay. Definitely elevated by the crowd.
For sure. Crowd was into it from the opening bell, which I like to see. Both ladies are over with the people. This angle has been very hot on WWE television as of late. I know it's controversial for some, but for the most part, it sells. It draws ratings. It draws eyes on social media, which is important for WWE. So when those two metrics work in your favor, that means the angle is working. But early on, we thought that Dirty Dominic Mysterio was in Rhea's corner as he took a bump by having Liv tope him on the outside, taking the bullet for Rhea Ripley. But then Rhea starts to lose her cool a bit by going for a steel chair, knowing that if you hit Liv, you're not going to win the championship that way. And Dominic warned her about that, and she falls back. And then towards the end of the match, Dirty Dominic reintroduces the steel chair, distracts the referee, and that allows Liv Morgan to hit Oblivion to Rhea on the steel chair. Dominic drops off the apron with a smile on his face as Liv retains her championship 1-2-3. After the match is over, we get what we thought we was going to get for a while now, that Dominic was in fact in on it. The fix was in as he embraces Liv and he and Liv kiss, therefore breaking Rhea Ripley's heart in the ring. They go up top And there they are. They're happily ever after. But I do have a warning for Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I still think that he gets hosed by Liv when it's all said and done, based on what happened later on in the show. But I think the most important thing was the angle and it paying off for Liv in particular, which it did, as she did, in fact, take Dominic Mysterio away from Rhea Ripley.
She did. This should kind of put it, at least for, in my eyes, this should kind of put the bed. They were in it all along. So everything that happened, you know, all kind of the tactics that Liv Morgan did and used on Dominic, we see was all a part of a ruse. When the ruse started, you know, when did this all become a game? We'll find out. A lot of camera angles that we still need answers to, but we'll find out when exactly Dominic did fall, because clearly he fell. So we'll find out when that happened, but I thought the finish was really well done. I thought Liv Morgan hitting that oblivion on the chair, and I thought the announcers did a good job bringing up the fact that, you know, Rhea hadn't lost a singles match except to Liv Morgan, and that was the last person. So I thought they did a good job of kind of not only foreshadowing, but just laying the groundwork for what was to come. And the reaction, again, I thought the announcers did a really good job during this match too. The way they reacted to the scumbag tactics of Dirty D and that whole, and his mustache. And I thought it was great.
The mustache. It all comes down to the mustache. And as you said, Scott, we have to really go back through the timeline of events, because we saw Liv and Dom talking backstage, leaving the locker room together, arriving together at one point, as well as Finn Balor. The hotel card key, what happened to that? Who went to the room? Was it Finn? Was it Dirty Dominic Mysterio? Was it really the PlayStation 5? Was it the chicken nuggets without no sauce? What was the turning point for this angle that had Dirty Dom sprung for Liv? Now, I do think that the fix wasn't always in, that eventually he fell for Liv, probably because she helped him beat his deadbeat dad for the first time ever a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw. But as we'll get to later, I think there's another domino to hit regarding who is truly the one behind all of this. And I still think that Dom got played, but he's a weakling and he's going to pay for it in more ways than one.
Let me tell you something. That's nasty work if you're buying somebody chicken nuggets and not getting them any sauce. Real nasty, nasty type work. That's a turnoff. You got the nerve to buy me lunch, some nuggets, and you didn't bring me no sauce. And they better not be Chick-fil-A nuggets, because if you got me Chick-fil-A nuggets and there's no Chick-fil-A sauce, you bugging. Nasty work. So that is absolutely not one of the reasons he fell. I could tell you that. That probably stopped the movement, if anything.
Well, first of all, I was waiting for you to mention the Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets, because you said the chicken nuggets are so good you don't need the sauce. But I told you that you need sauce, whether it's barbecue, a honey mustard, or ranch. No, you need sauce. Yes, you do.
It's got to be Chick-fil-A. If you don't get Chick-fil-A nuggets, got to be Chick-fil-A. Can't be
exactly. Exactly. So I know in your Chick-fil-A loving heart that you not accept no sauce on your chicken nuggets. So I'm just saying.
To be fair, since you brought it up, it did come with the PS5. So listen, that's a hard, you know, it's hard for me to be that upset, but I am going to be like, yo, you really didn't get no sauce though.
Exactly.
Can you get me some sauce?
Exactly. Had a whole platter of nuggets with no sauce. Yes, PS5 with the WWE 2K24 as an accessory. So, hey. Something happened. We'll get to it later. I have my own theories as we're diving into this. But overall, I enjoyed the match. The angle worked for me. Dominic, enjoy the weekend, because it's going to be a short-lived one. Listen, get yours in as much as you can tonight and tomorrow, because on Monday, I think Liv is going to put his heart on the blender. I'm going to just leave it at that. But shout out to the announcers. Michael Cole had his JR moment. He fired off a son of a bitch line at Dirty Dom for being a two-timing bastard. And then Pat McAfee on a live mic, uncensored, called Dirty Dominic Mysterio a piece of shit.
3.5 dirty mustaches for this match.
I agree. Very fair score. As we move on to our next championship match on the card, which was for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Bron Breakker, the challenger, versus Sami Zayn, the champion. This is basically the Scott Young special of things happening fairly quickly. We didn't get the spear off top, yeah, but it happened. we got a little sidestepped here, but we didn't get it. But it was a quick match. It was not a wrestling clinic like Money in the Bank. We had Sammy get some hope spots here and there. And at one point, it looked like there was a little miscommunication regarding the Blue Thunder Bomb. Like somebody didn't want to go up, but I'll leave that alone. And we had Bron almost land on his head as well, which was gnarly. But he came through, hit the Frankensteiner, what Pat McAfee calls a Frankensteiner these days. Then he goes for the top rope bulldog, but that gets blocked by Sammy, who lands a Blue Thunder Bomb. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we have Bron Breakker hit a spear out of nowhere, double downs on it with another spear to pin Sami Zayn and become the new WWE Intercontinental Champion in under 10 minutes. Congrats to him. His first major championship on the main roster and deserved. The crowd reaction for him was great. They was ready for the title change, and he is over. He is going to be a big time star in WWE. He still has some cleaning up to do in terms of the in-ring work, but you know, his time is now, and this is definitely his moment to prove himself carrying the Workman's Championship.
I thought this was a waste of time, and I thought this could have been on Raw. This was a 6-minute match, and when we get to the next match, which is another way you could have done this match in the same vein and got this 6 minutes, but this is essentially a six-minute run-through, and Bron Breakker just dominated the match. Like, Sami Zayn got a couple spots here at the beginning, but this was all about Bron Breakker from the jump, and I thought this could have been on Raw. We could have had some other matches on the card. Hometown boy Johnny Gargano got stuck on SmackDown and this 6-minute match is on here. I don't know. It was fine for what it was, but this would be a fine Raw main event with, you know, 1.5 million viewers seeing Bron Breakker win this title. So that's just my personal opinion on it. I thought it was kind of a waste of time. And not in a disrespectful way to them. Like, they did their thing. This just should have been on Raw, and we could have had more time for another match, or we could have had that tag title match that had some time and could have given an extra 5 minutes or so.
I agree. I would have reversed it, because we've had IC title matches happen on Monday Night Raw before pay-per-view. They've done that previously. And the fact is, you ran this match a month ago at Money in the Bank, and that was the time for the title switch, honestly, with a better match that was laid out in a way that called for a title change. This one, it was expected, and it happened in less time. But if you was going to do that, let it happen on Monday night. Let it happen, hell, at Money in the Bank, where it should have happened, and then do the rematch the night before SummerSlam or a few days before. That would have been the preferred plan, because this match just felt it wasn't special. Last month was a better match with the flat finish, and this was a better finish with the flat match. So that's kind of what we got here, the reverse of what we would have had in Money in the Bank if the trigger was pulled on Breakker winning. But he got the win, stadium crowd. I'm sure that was the intention, but I think that they missed a pop a month earlier.
Yeah, 2.5 Frankensteiners. Though, I think it was Corey Graves that said Scott Steiner wasn't happy about Pat McAfee changing the name.
Yes, and the Steiners were in attendance. You don't want to get on Scott's bad side, so we might have to change that back to the Frankensteiner. Okay, there we go.
The Frankensteiner.
Yeah, that's wordy, though.
That's wordy. Sounds like a bean. Sounds like a beans company.
Frankie, yes, beans, it does. Or something. Yes.
All right.
But
yeah, we're not going to
give
that.
This 2.5 Frankensteiners. I'll be fair. 2.5 Frankensteiners for this match. As we get to, up until this point in the show, this was, until later, the best match of the night. Shockingly so. It was Logan Paul, the United States champion, versus LA Knight. We had Machine Gun Kelly out there with Logan Paul and reps from Prime. The only thing I remember from Machine Gun Kelly is him getting cooked by Eminem bar for bar years ago. And that time, Kevin Owens powerbombed Machine Gun Kelly off a stage on Monday Night Raw, and I believe in Cleveland, Ohio. And Michael Cole delivered one of the best lines of all time, saying that Machine Gun Kelly is not a superstar. How could you, Kevin? Well, he did it because he's not a superstar in more ways than one. Loaded language, and I was here for it.
As far as Machine Gun Kelly, he's somebody who, when asked about Eminem's diss record, Killshot, he said it was a solid six. Who says that? who said that was a solid six, man? It was good. What? And then not only did Killshot end the rap career of MGK, he went on to become a rocker and rock all pink. Now he's drinking, or at least he was drinking blood. I think he's still drinking blood, trying to turn into the new Twilight. And apparently now he's ventured in the country. So Killshot did a lot of good for him, apparently. The blood in the country is working real well for him. So shout out to Eminem for setting MGK straight.
He's just a little genre jumper, isn't he? Just jumping all over.
A little genre jumper, huh?
Yes, he is. I don't want to say what I really want to say, but he's a little genre jumper. So that's the best I'm gonna do here on this show. I'm be very polite here, but also genre floozy. Not a genre floozy.
Yeah, genre floozy.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But actually, Machine Gun Kelly did cause a stir in that they thought, oh my God, is that Kyle Fletcher? Like, no, it's not. Kyle Fletcher has talent. There's a difference.
Don't be disrespecting Kyle like that. Y'all don't be disrespecting Kyle. Are
you
serious?
Disrespect that man.
He is twice the size of MGK. Like, MGK's tall, but he is twice the girth of that man. Pause.
Well, facts. But the girth that you're talking about is in terms of body size, which is fine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's a thick boy.
Yes, he is. Very thick and talented. So there's two differences there. So this match, I'm just saying, am I throwing shots? Maybe. Am I throwing kill shots? Perhaps. I don't know.
Oh.
Hey, but this match was really good. And I thought this was LA Knight's best match possibly ever in WWE. I know he had the match against AJ Styles, but this guy was just on it tonight. And Logan Paul, who I detest as a human being, is a great professional wrestler who went out there and did what he does. And he puts on a show in his Cleveland fit that his own hometown hated. So when you get F you chance where you live, you suck as a human, essentially. No love in Cleveland for Logan Paul. We had a brawl on the outside before the match started. When the match actually began, it was excellent in a lot of ways. A highlight was LA Knight doing a springboard from the second rope to the top rope elbow drop to Logan Paul. That was very clean. No hands for that, by the way, as he went up top to hit that for a near fall. But Logan Paul, who is reviled, rightfully so for many reasons, he decides to just casually go up top and deliver quite possibly one of the most beautiful moonsaults I have ever seen in my life. The height, the extension, the elevation, the execution was spectacular. I was in awe, and the fans were too. And then he got back on track and said, "You still suck." So they could appreciate greatness and then still stay on the same page regarding him sucking. Then we had LA Knight go up top and not deliver a superplex. Oh no. It was like a fisherman buster, brain buster off the top to Logan Paul for a near fall. All of this was crazy. I'm like, wow, LA Knight's unlocked the 2K24 code and is going off this night. But the match ends with Machine Gun Kelly trying to hand off the brass knucks to Logan Paul to knock out LA Knight. He tries, light tap, not enough. And LA Knight hits quite possibly the prettiest blunt for his trauma to win the United States Championship. I thought this match was great. I thought this was LA Knight's best performance ever. And there is something about SummerSlam and Logan Paul. We go back a couple of years ago with him and The Miz delivering a 4-star classic in Nashville. And here we go again in his hometown. And he delivers another great match against LA Knight. And this was the proper title change. I approve.
This might have been my favorite match of the entire night. I thought this was a great match. And I do want to touch on a couple things that you brought up. The moonsault that you speak of, let's give that man his flowers. Besides the fact I just tweeted that he can't do a moonsault, but it's on Twitter and they always have false information on Twitter. But real talk though, the moonsault, he jumped from inside the ring to the top rope outside, and then it was spectacular. That dude said Ricochet's gone. Bet. Bet. Y'all need a highlight? Bet. Like, this dude, listen, say what you want about Twitter having just false information all over the internet, but he can really do some incredible things in that ring. The buckshot counter that you talked about where LA Knight hit the blunt force trauma at the end of the match. Beautiful thing of beauty. That superplex that you're speaking of and the brain buster, I was like, that doesn't look good. But the impact was crazy. The crowd was hot for it. MGK was there. I just looking like a vampire. I was waiting on Blade to come out and take him out or something. I thought this was a great match. And I will go out and say that this was probably LA Knight's best match he's had in WWE. This was fantastic. Logan Paul, when he can be the guy that brings the excitement, that brings the high spots, when he can just be in 2K mode, like you said, like you brought up about The Miz, that's somebody where he can be in 2K mode, where he can create all the movement, he can do the explosive moves. That's where he has some of his better matches. Even against Roman Reigns, that's somebody where he can create the movement and he can bring out those moves. So it kind of doesn't surprise me that he does that. And then when he goes against Rollins, who can do everything, it's a little bit more evenly balanced. But great match. I'm going to give it 4.5. 4.5 might be a bit egregious. Let me go 4.25. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the half was like, wait a minute now, pause. But 4.25, yes, I'm here for that. I was really impressed by this match. You know, Logan Paul, detestable human being, great professional wrestler, LA Knight, he gets a reputation for like, is he just really a cosplaying Stone Cold Rock wannabe? Like, yeah, but they're great. So why not emulate greatness? But in the ring, he's LA Knight. You don't see Stone Cold doing springboards and vertical leaps onto the top rope. You don't see that. So he brings his own style to wrestling, which is good. And he reminded people that he's a pretty damn good wrestler with hops. And I believe he's in his 40s. He's hopping like that. So it's very impressive for him to do this match against a Logan Paul, who is still a novice at this, but he's pretty damn good at this wrestling thing. Their chemistry was strong in this match. Only drawback was those headshots with the announce table. Like, it didn't make any contact. That wasn't great. But outside of that, the body of the match was great. The near falls were everything. The crowd was hot for it. And finally, we got the title change we've been waiting for. And the coronation of LA Knight winning his first major championship in WWE. It's long overdue. Triple H didn't play around. We got it done. And it was the right night for it. Right city, right moment.
He played around a little bit, but
yeah, he did. At least we didn't wait until like January to pull the trigger. That would have been crazy.
Well, you know, he could always lose it on Friday. So let's not get too excited. Let's see what happens. But no, I agree with you. And yeah, this was probably my definitely in contention for best match of the night, in my opinion.
Yes, I agree. Very, very strong match. As we get to our next championship match on tap, which was Bayley, the WWE Women's Champion versus the 2024 Queen of the Ring, Nia Jax, title on the line. First half of this match, the crowd was cold, and I don't blame them. They saw a hot championship match with LA Knight and Logan Paul with a title switch, and they was like, oh, this match is alright. It was just there for a bit. But the second half of this match, I thought was well worked. Bayley showed up, Nia Jax did as well, and the highlight for me was Bayley lifting up Nia for a powerbomb. That got the crowd up for the rest of the match. Near fall for Bayley onto Nia Jax. Nia goes for the Annihilator. Bayley kicks out of that. So a lot of back and forth action and a rolling senton from Nia, which was impressive as well. So Nia had a working boots on. And eventually we had Tiffany Stratton come out with her new Barbie Money in the Bank briefcase. I told Scott that this briefcase is going to last a while. It was not going to get cashed in on this show. You got a strap, for God's sake. So it's going to be around for a while. So that distraction enables Nia Jax to take control, and she powerbombs Bayley twice, two annihilators, and she is the new WWE Women's Champion. When you think about it, it makes sense, because you would expect Tiffany to cash in on Nia when Nia is at her most vulnerable. But second half of this match, very good. Definitely carried the rest of the way.
I thought everything was okay. The last 3 minutes I thought were pretty great. Starting from the powerbomb, the elbow drop that followed, Tiffany coming out, just with the tease of even being able to cash or just being a distraction. And then Nia Jax just going beast mode. So yeah, I thought the last 3 minutes are great. The first part of it, it was just there. It was fine. Nothing bad, but it was just there. And with Nia being champion, now you kind of open things up a little bit, because, you know, Jade and Bianca, they can do what they want in the tag division, but those two versus Nia is where the money is. We still have a returning Charlotte Flair to look forward to on the horizon. A lot of big-time baby faces who can do some things against Nia Jax, so we're going to see what happens with that. I'm looking forward to either Jade or Bianca, one of those two powerhouses, knocking her off eventually down the road. And then you've always got Tiffany in the back pocket right there. So those two having the power right now, this will be a very interesting time. And I can see them really kind of running the show on SmackDown as far as the women's division, and probably just being a central figure of the show in general.
I agree. Like, Nia Jax, and people can talk about her all they want, I think the second run in WWE has been very good for her. The work has been better. The character work has been great. And she could carry on the microphone. And she's not going to be fazed by the crowd reactions. She plays into that. She can get grimy when need be on the microphone. So I don't doubt that for a second. She does have a personality that stands out. And Tiffany Stratton, as the princess to the queen, is going to work as well. They have a really good dynamic. We see that via their TikToks and what they do on social media together. So their chemistry is locked in. And as you said, you have Jade and you have Bianca Belair. There is prior history there that has been kind of left on the wayside for now. And we did have that almost KOD by Bianca Belair to Nia Jax. That did not happen. So we still got to have that visual play out eventually as well in a future return match. Same for Jay Cargill as well. So there are money matches to be had with Nia Jax as women's champion. Big test for her, though, because now you are basically the face of that division. You're going to be carrying things on SmackDown in that move to USA Network next month. And you got Tiffany right there. And she's going to be prime for a cash-in probably around WrestleMania time. I think they're going to wait that long because historically the women's briefcase has been cashed in pretty quickly. I think they're going to take their time with this a bit and make the cash in count when it's time.
Speaking of Bianca Belair, this was, I believe, the first Big Four that she has not been a part of since being called up to the main roster. So choices again. We had a 5-minute IC title match and we had the ladies, you know, this would have been a really cool spot to give the ladies, you know, a tag title match right here. You know, but again, it is what it is. You know, I just think Bianca not being on this card and having another women's match would have meant a little bit more than having that IC title match.
I agree. And they had the match on SmackDown with the Witches on Friday night. That was good. Well, that's what they are. That's what they call themselves, essentially. Okay. And it was a good match. Flat finish, but good match. And you actually could have had the Witches, Isla Dawn, Alba Fire, and Blair Davenport versus Jade, Bianca, and Naomi in a six-woman tag team match on this show if you wanted to. But they opted not to. You could have supplemented that for the IC title match and it would have been more over. But I digress. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm good on Naomi. But as far as the tag team match, I'd be cool with that.
Well, you're telling a story, Scott. For storyline purposes, you're just a Naomi hater.
Just hating.
Residential Naomi hate. I'm going to give her your number so she can call you to ask you, why do you don't like me?
Oh, what are you talking about? I'm Naomi. I am your biggest fan. Like I am. I have your back at every girl. You just don't know.
And I have audio evidence to suggest otherwise that I can play and say, you know what? By the way, Scott said this on this date, on that day, at this time.
Hey, give me 5 minutes. I'm gonna send you something. What's your email? I'm gonna send you something in 5 minutes. Okay.
Yes. Real quick. Of attraction. That's what you're gonna send.
I'm gonna send you something real quick. So you hold that thought. Just hold whatever you about. Hold that thought. Let me send you this audio real quick.
Too late. I already have you busted in debt to rights. But nice try though to cover yourself. But championship match is fine. I give it 3 annihilators out of 5.
Wow, I'm going with 2.5 drops out of 5.
That's fair. I think the second half of the match definitely carried a bit more than the first half, and the crowd did wake up, which I appreciate it. As we get to our next match, grudge match of the night, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with Seth freaking Rollins as your special guest referee. Now, Seth, by Seth standards, decided to go tame for his referee outfit, bedazzled jersey, sparkly baggy pants. He didn't do too much. So I was like, good restraint for you. No booty shorts, no cutouts, no ass cheeks were out. So for that, it was a victory.
Shawn Michaels would have been disappointed, but Vandango would have been very happy with that.
Yes. He would have been like, I will give you 2 fashion snaps in a circle. Like, you did that. Very impressive. No citation for you with the fashion police. Fandango would have been very proud of that outfit. Shawn Michaels, not so much. Like, where are the hot pants, dude? Show off some ass. But hey, did not get that on this night. So we
Seth said he was going to wear pants instead of underwear for the match tonight. So.
Yes, he wanted to bring some decorum and class to the proceedings. You know, you don't want to make it all about yourself. So you try to stand out without standing out too much, which I completely understand. You don't want to be the one to overshadow Punk and Drew McIntyre. And I thought this match was perfectly acceptable. The big test for me was CM Punk being back in the ring for the first time in months due to a torn triceps injury. And I thought he looked good. He survived the match. He made it through. And that's the most important thing, because his health and longevity during this WWE run is going to be very important. You got a lot of money feuds to look forward to, and you got to be healthy. And he looked good. Drew looks great as always. And there was a tension of Seth Rollins being the middle guy. He let things fly on the outside, did not administer a 10 count, but he drew the line with Drew McIntyre using a steel chair on CM Punk. And from there, Punk took control. And he noticed at one point in this match that when he got his bracelet back from Drew McIntyre by locking in an armbar, he noticed that, why does Seth have my bracelet on now? What's going on here? There's a confrontation, and Drew takes advantage of that. And then we get more between Punk and Seth when Seth is going to miss a count of CM Punk landing the GTS, go to sleep on McIntyre. And that causes CM Punk to lay out Seth with the GTS. And therefore that allows Drew McIntyre to land a low blow, hit the Claymore, take back the bracelet, pin CM Punk. Seth makes a count. And this feud is where we thought it was going to be, with Drew McIntyre up 1-0. And we know things ultimately going to end up at Bad Blood in Atlanta in October. Hell in a Cell, perfect ending, no referee bullshit. But in this case, it works because you're really building towards two matches down the road. It's Punk McIntyre 2 or 3 between Bash at Berlin and Bad Blood. And ultimately, what you're going to be doing with Punk and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania potentially next year in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think we're in for a triple threat somewhere, whether it's for the title at WrestleMania or, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to these three being in a triple threat in Hell in a Cell. Like, the hatred that you have, the animosity that'll be built here between the three, it's very easy to tell right now, especially between CM Punk and Seth Rollins right now are going to have some serious issues going forward. Obviously CM Punk's going to want revenge on Drew, but he's going to blame Seth Rollins for part of this too. So it is going to be very curious to see what transitions where. What match happens at Bash? What match happens at Bad Blood? Like, I mean, the way things played out, there's another main event level match that's going to be happening between two former stablemates at Bad Blood as well, if not sooner. So there is a lot of intrigue in this. And I think the match wasn't great. I see some people who said they hated the match. I didn't hate it. I thought everything was, you knew shenanigans were going to be at play. I didn't think anything was overdone. The bracelet thing, yeah, okay, but they've established that this is a breaking point for CM Punk. Like, they've established that this will send him off, and where he can't really, he has tunnel vision. And that was his downfall more than one occasion. And Seth Rollins missed the early roll-up as well. So once he hit that GTS, you knew more shenanigans were going to come. Might have been the quickest low blow recover ever from a referee. GTS recover for a referee by Seth Rollins, because right after that low blow, he was ready to go for that count. But yeah, it was, I'm just saying, like, he took that GTS and he was like, hey, I'm back. I'm gonna give it 3¾ dazzling pants from Seth Rollins.
His recovery time was remarkable. He just woke up and just said, let me count. As we knew he would, because
he is a wrestler.
He gets up. The sparkly pants, I agree. I'm going to go 3 sparkly pants straight up. Ooh. You know, I like the match. Like I said, it was a test of CM Punk's health to see where he's at in the ring. He looks good. I did not expect a wrestling clinic because of the referee shenanigans, but what we got was good. I think that the next few matches between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre are going to be better than this. You're not going to have the referee shenanigans with Seth involved. It's going to be grimy. It's going to be dirty. I'm going to be here for that. And as you said, I will not be opposed to seeing a triple threat match inside Hell in a Cell involving these three guys, because the hate is so real between all three of them. So I would not be opposed to seeing something like that heading into Bad Blood in October in the A. Just depends how we get there in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I agree. And if we do, I'd like some type of stakes. Like, you know, I I think we could have had a classic if we just had a number one contenders triple threat match right here. Could have had a classic. And I think we could still have that whenever that match does happen, because that has to be on the table. But I'm just, me personally, I'm curious to see where the priority lies as far as WrestleMania. I know that's a ways down the road, but what match do they save? Do they save Punk getting his revenge on Drew McIntyre for WrestleMania, or do they save Punk versus Rollins for WrestleMania? You know what? Because we got to get something big coming up at Survivor Series. Bash, they're not going to leave us hanging. Then we got the Royal Rumble on the way. So we got some bad blood like we've been talking about. We got big shows coming up. What is going to be the priority as far as what match gets saved and what match are they going to serve us in the next couple months?
I think Rollins and Punk get saved for WrestleMania. I think that's something they wanted to do this year. Couldn't do it this year due to injury. They're going to wait on it. And I think they're right now, they're just trying to get McIntyre and Punk out the way. Will it be wrapped up by October? I don't know for sure. But I just sense they're trying to hold off for next year's WrestleMania with Seth and Punk. Whether it's going to be for a championship, I don't know, because that is going to be a big question mark as who's going to knock off the next guy up, as we'll get to right now, which was probably my favorite match of the night. It was Damian Priest versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. And on this night, it is very rare. It is extremely rare in any space when I say that Gunther was not the hard hitter in a match. Normally, he's the guy that bruises you up. He bloodies you up. He leaves you a battered man. On this night, Damian Priest decided to have his finest performance on the main roster and say, I am going to bloody up Gunther. I am going to chop him. I am going to deliver my kicks and my strikes, and I am going to hit every move I can on this guy, and he is going to absorb it. I don't know what got into Damian Priest, but my God, he unleashed on Gunther in ways very few men can, and it was very impressive.
Yeah, the physicality was really strong here. It's something that Gunther kind of brings out of you, and you really kind of, you see it in the wrestlers. Like when they get that first hit and they're either they're expecting it and they retaliate, or they're not expecting it and it takes a couple, but you see like the level of physicality raised throughout the match. And this was what you saw here with Priest. Like, even at the beginning, he always throws. Priest is always a harder hit anyway. But now, once you saw that, like, he laid into a little more of them kicks, you heard every one of those kicks. I really enjoyed this match. I mentioned the LA Knight and the Logan Paul was probably my favorite match. This was probably the best match, though, as far as technicality goes, physicality. They didn't do a lot of crazy stuff, but you know, the moves they did do, they meant something. When Gunther went with those big boots, it was a reason for it. So this was a very, very physical match and was completely different than everything else on the card, which it needed to be, which Gunther matches always tend to be.
Yes, it was different. It was violent, which I love, obviously. I just didn't expect the violence from Priest as much because you expect it from Gunther. And this guy lit him up. And I love the fact that at one point, Priest just dropped straps and said, listen, here's my chest. Hit me. Do what you're going to do. And he still hit the shit out of Gunther. I was living for the action. Every move counted. They didn't do nothing too crazy. And Priest was in it. I thought this was a way to end his championship run in a way that said it counted, that it mattered. He wasn't a transitional champion. He was meant to be champion for that moment, for this moment. But then we got what we expected. And even though this show was chock full of interference, it was too much for me. It was too much for me on this night. This is like a directive to Triple H I'm watching right now during this press conference. Don't know if he's dodging any questions right now, but for future reference, sir, great show, but you booked way too many interference spots. You have to be very judicious with them. And I thought this one was the most clever of the night, but it just meant a little less because we saw it so much during the show. So Finn Balor comes out as a cheerleader, as expected, rooting on Damian Priest, supposedly. And then when Priest hit South of Heaven on Gunther, 1-2, Finn Balor deliberately puts Gunther's foot on the bottom rope to break the count. And the fans are like, what? And Finn turns his back on Damian Priest, But smart babyface, the priestess, looks up at the big screen at the stadium, sees a replay, and sees what Finn has done. And he's going to answer for it. He tried to grab Finn a couple of times, and then Gunther puts him in the sleeper hold. And Priest fights out, gives a gallant effort, goes after Finn again to his detriment. And ultimately, Gunther puts Damian Priest to sleep, and he is the new world heavyweight champion. If all the other outside interference didn't happen, this was the best interference of the night in terms of the ultimate betrayal of a friend that was supposedly there for you, who's no longer there for you. But most importantly, above all else, it doesn't reveal the full scope of the Judgment Day fracture until Monday Night Raw, because we don't know where Liv and Dirty Dom went. Props to the hotel. Enjoy the weekend, as I said. But I do think that the ultimate swerve will be Finn and Liv being in on it the whole time and leaving Dirty Dom high and dry.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So I think this is just a complete splinter of Judgment Day, as far as I think Dom and Liv go their separate ways. And I think Carlito third wheels with Finn and JD for a while. And then once they lose their titles, I think he goes in third wheels with Dom and Liv for a while. Cause I think Carlito is just going to be third wheeling. He's just going to be Uncle Carlito for a while. So maybe he'll be with Dom for a while. Who knows? But I think this is the complete splinter. I think they might have one more good beat down. And then I think they go their mutual ways. Finn has what he wants. He's got gold. He's screwed Damian Priest out of his gold. And Liv's got what she wants. She took out Judgment Day. She has Dominic Mysterio, and she has the women's title, and she has another victory over Rhea Ripley. They all got what they wanted. So I think we see them beat down the two, Rhea and Damian on Raw, and then I think we see them go their separate ways. But them also Dominic being turned, you know, getting in that beat down too. That would be a nice little twist on it as well. One thing I thought really stood out in this match, and I thought was a good sign going forward, is Damian Priest showed some incredible babyface fire. You mentioned when Finn Balor came out, he went up on the ropes. Gunther kicked him in the face, and that's when Damian Priest fired up with those three big clotheslines, then hit the razor's edge, which a nice touch by Pat McAfee by saying, "Hey, yo," you know, showing not only, you know, love for Scott Hall, for Razor Ramon, but also just the intensity he was showing. Then he hit that South to Heaven. And that's what made the Finn Balor putting his foot on the rope even more like, what is going on? Because Priest fired up watching Finn Balor get knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that added just another element to that entire turn. But I thought Damian Priest, man, great babyface fire. Great babyface fire when he did fire up. Like you mentioned, when those straps came down and he was hitting them, and he just kind of was like, nah, that ain't going to do it. You've talked about it multiple times on the show. He's going to be a great baby face. He got saddled down by being one of Blade's main villains, but when he first got called up, but now that he's a human again and they've cured him of his addiction to blood that MGK has, now that we're back on pace, I think we're in for a really good treat as far as him as a baby face. But this, you know what? I think I might, because we've talked about it. And I think you talked me into it. I think I'm gonna go with 4.5 bloody chest.
4.5 bloody chests is crazy. I'm going to say I agree with you. You are very gory with your description for this match, but I'm here for it as well. I've been saying it for a while that Damian Priest is going to be a great babyface, and the crowd was with him during this match. They fired up. Like, they was really impressed at a guy that took it to Gunther. Only, like, the Sheamuses and Ilya Dragunovs can do that to Gunther and survive. And he did that, and he was dominant. He was the guy that was asserting that tempo and that level of physicality, and it took Gunther by surprise. He even looked at his chest like, I'm bleeding? Like, this dude made me bleed? Like, yeah, because Damian's for the streets. You should have been talking shit about him coming from the streets. You got that street priest on your ass, and you wasn't ready. And I love it. I loved this match because it was different. It was physical. It was violent. It was bruising. It was grimy. Best finish of the night, but unfortunately, it was on top of a lot of interference on this show, which kind of watered things down a touch. But overall, I really enjoyed this match. Priest's going to be great as a babyface. And I'm going to say it right now that the Judgment Day as we know it, it's going to change. They might still be together in some ways without Priest and Rhea there. But I do have a feeling. Oh, I got a feeling that the LWO is going to get a remix. And I think that Damian Priest is going to lead it after.
Oh, no.
Because, listen what I'm saying. Because of what he's been saying recently about Dirty Dom, and then Dirty Dom saying, are you my dad? Think about that connection. Are you my dad? You sound like my deadbeat dad. Like, you're lecturing me like you're my father. So he could lead a revamped, elevated LWO for the Puerto Ricans, for the culture.
That's okay. Here's my problem with that. What are they doing right now?
Nothing, which means you elevate it with Priest. You get Bad Bunny in that thing. Come on now. Come on.
See, now you're asking a lot. First of all.
Listen, they reunite, you know, they reconnect. It's all good. You have to, if you're trying to make the LWO relevant, yeah, then you have Priest at the head of it as your babyface. Like Ray said, listen, son, this could have been you, but look, I got a new son now. Older, wiser, better.
So you're trying to turn Ray Mysterio heel. by this dude being like, hey, son, you suck. Got me a new kid.
Yes.
Got it. You know what? Might make me a Rey Mysterio fan after that. Might make me a Rey Mysterio fan when they pull something like that.
Yes. They need something.
You suck. I got a new kid. His name's Damian. You might know him.
Yes. Just haunt his dreams. Can you imagine Rhea being with Rey tormenting Dominic? That'd be funny. After all she put that man through, the ultimate revenge.
Yeah, I just seeing Damian Priest and Rey Mysterio come out together would definitely be a sight.
Yeah, it'd be kind of boss. And like I said, that's what Dominic's been alluding to lately. You sound like my dad. So like, yeah, now I'm with your dad. How about it? He's giving me permission to whoop your ass. So there we go.
You've been right more than you've been wrong, so I'm gonna stick with you on that.
All right, so I think it's with Finn, like Dominic is next. So we'll see what happens for sure. But really strong match with Priest losing in a very brave effort against the new World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther. And now it is time for Shenanigans with The Miz, who is the host of SummerSlam, barely seen on this show, and R-Truth, like the easiest job. You open the show and you make an announcement of the attendance. You bring out Jelly Roll to beat up Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And you have a five-knuckle shuffle party and it's over. Like, okay, good for you guys. Intermission. Now let's get to our main event.
And also, shout out to R-Truth for representing the black community on the SummerSlam card. So, shout out to you, R-Truth. You did it, man. You out there for us. Hold it down.
Man, when R-Truth is the only representation outside of Samoans on this card.
Well, Cody was on the show. So. show.
Brother Cody, obviously, as well.
Brother Cody was on the show.
Yes, Brother Cody. But man, we got to do better, Triple H, because I'll just leave that alone. Do better. Do better. Now, I'm going to say it. How does Walker HBK utilize his brothers and sisters better than Triple H on the main roster? How?
Well, I think once Sexy Red, something happened with Sexy Red, then blew that man's mind, because he's ever, because listen, a lot of sisters been getting some time. I'm just saying, a lot of brothers and sisters been getting some time. I think he in Triple H, I don't know what then got into that man. I mean, he got a lot of cultures on there, but I'm gonna tell you the one that's not on there. I'm gonna tell you the one that's not been on there, and I don't know why, but it's just we all right. We just gonna see what happens, man. Shout out to R-Truth though.
Yeah, we have to fix that in the fall, Paul. I'm just saying we got to work on that a little bit. Got to work on that, because if I get it on Tuesdays and PLEs for NXT, I expect similar results on the main roster. We gotta be in synergy here. We gotta be connected here, you know, moving forward. But let's get to our main event. Bloodline Rules. They just added this dip on SmackDown the night before because it's a straight up match. Hey, would have been not very good to me. So it was Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa for the undisputed WWE Championship. And this was Pharaoh's last road trip with his father, Cody. Got a little sentimental about that because I love dogs and Pharaoh's been a loyal boy for a very long time. There was a very emotional walk backstage, and we had Arn Anderson appear out of nowhere, free to do whatever. I don't know if he signed with the WWE or he made a cameo appearance, but he gave Cody words of encouragement, says, I got people that I know that got your back tonight. Don't worry about it. Then we had the doggy handoff, and then we had Brandy's mom give Cody the robe, which was nice. He puts that on and got his head thingy on, his head mask and everything, comes out, boss, got fireworks and everything. This match with him and Solo, it was all right. It was all right. As I said it would be, it was all right. We was here for the interference of the Bloodline. It was all right. The action was all right. One thing I noticed is now that Solo's wearing wrestling boots. Okay, cool. When you're a tribal chief, you must put on boots, I suppose. But it was just there for me, as I thought it would. And Jacob Fatu comes out there after KO and Randy Orton run off Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. And it was just all right. You know, hopefully Jacob Fatu is okay, because he splashed Cody through the announce table and that caused hopefully not a serious injury. But I think he was down because you don't want to be up to face Roman. That would be too early, too soon for that confrontation. Save that for later. But this match was all about waiting for Roman to come out to get that pop. And he did. It was so deafening in the stadium that you didn't hear that really iffy remix to his theme song. Comes out there like a boss with the OTC Trout Crew shirt. That's mm-hmm. what Scott's going to call it. The OG Trout Crew comes out there and spears Solo. And then before that, knocks him out with a Superman punch. He looks at Cody, nods out of respect, says finish him. Cody does. Crossroads, retains the championship. Roman looks at what he's done, very proud of his handiwork, and we'll see where we are on Friday Night SmackDown, but I think this is the next chapter and many more to come involving the Bloodline, with Cody and Roman having a ceasefire with mutual respect for now.
Yeah, a couple things. Shout out to Armed Arn Anderson for showing up tonight. We know he was packing, and we know we tried to slip Cody a piece. Cody was like, dude, come on, bro. We on camera. Yeah, so shout out to him for showing up. And like you said, the match was okay. I think you bring up a good point about Jacob Fatu and the splash. I think that was the reason for that spot, to take them both out. That way you don't have any type of physical confrontation for Roman and Fatu. Because if anything, Roman just needed to run through him, spear, see you on the sidelines. Wait, I got big boy business to take care of. Because Fatu should be the big boy business. So I think that was deliberately done. So shout out to them for doing something right for once. I will say, let me say a couple good things about the match. I think the story that they tried to tell with the match, the crowd didn't care, but the story that they tried to tell with the match of Solo doing his homework, I thought was really well done. He countered a lot of moves, the drop down punch that he likes to do. He caught the first one. Like, I thought they did a good job with the story. The crowd just didn't care. When you get a big victory giving John Cena the 26 thumbs of doom, and then you lose 26 matches in a row, and now you're all of a sudden the tribal chief. It's like, it's a big jump. A lot of gaps right here. You know, I missed a couple seasons in this show for you to be where you're at right now. And then the Oregano Trout crew came out, Roman Reigns, and it was that reaction was incredible. He definitely got Death Rebeled, though. We don't know how bad yet. We will find out. But the reaction was incredible. It was deafening, and you could tell people were excited about it. People were waiting on it. I thought Fatu looked great as far as everything he did. Tongaloa was looking like a futuristic pirate out there. whatever. But I think Solo, like I said, Solo in his own bubble is doing a good job. He's just in the biggest storyline in wrestling right now. So you have extra eyes on you. You've brought it up multiple times. You got Fatu right in your shadow. And it's like, that's a big boy. That's a monster right there waiting behind you. Like, that's a dog back there. So the match was fine. I'm going to give it, like I said, I like the story they tried to tell. So I'm going to give it 3.5 trouts.
three trouts even. You know, the match was all right. It purely existed for the return of Roman Reigns. People wanted to see him back in this spot. They got it. And Roman is now officially over as a babyface after all of this time. It has finally happened. The prophecy has come to pass after nearly 10 years, and I'm very happy for him. Now, the big test is going to be on Friday, if we're going to get Roman on SmackDown this Friday on Fox, because it's time to see what Solo can do face to face with Roman Reigns. It's time to see it, Scott. Shaking your head. I told you. This had to happen because Solo's been talking all that smack and he's beginning. We want Roman chance. So now you got to go face to face with the man that can cut you up on the microphone, overshadow you, outstage you, outshine you, outclass you. So you have got to step up. You have to say, I am worthy of this spot, because the irony of this is before Roman became a babyface, technically how you was looking at him, you were going to be the babyface, but you as a heel trying to be your cousin isn't hitting. So now this harsh reality is about to crash down in real time to see whether or not you can stand face to face, word for word, bar for bar, with Roman. How much is Roman willing to give you so you can shine? That is the question. That is what I'm waiting for. That is what I want to see. And then after that, the next big test will be the match between the two of them. Will it be good? Will it rise to the occasion as family? We shall see.
Honestly, I wouldn't even have Solo say anything to him. He doesn't need to say anything to him. You have the numbers advantage right now. Roman has nothing going for him except the fact that he's Roman Reigns. He's still one man. You got the numbers. You got Fatu. You got that cannibal Tama, and you got the pirate. So you got a squad. You know, you got a monster, a pirate, and a cannibal. I think you got plenty that you can throw at Roman Reigns before you even need to speak. So let Roman cut this, like you said, because Roman's going to cut that promo. He's going to cut that scathing promo. I'm surprised we didn't get Paul Heyman walking out, but we're going to get Roman cutting that promo. And then I would just have Solo, like, snap his fingers or something, or throw up the ones, and I would have them just ambush him, put him through a table, leave him laying, and let him know new sheriff in town. That's how I would do it for a couple weeks. Solo don't say a word. And when he does talk, it's over top of a lifeless Roman Reigns. Because like you mentioned, you need to just do this in a way where we kind of build to it. Because then when we do finally get that face-to-face, Solo needs to have already gotten his jabs in. Roman needs to have gotten his jabs in. So then the face-to-face could be something that we haven't heard yet as far as what are they going to say to each other now that they've already gotten it out the way.
I like that strategy. The less I hear from Solo, the better. So he doesn't have to say anything. And that'll make me happy because I don't want to see that man get ate up. I really don't. And I like Solo, but no.
Mm-mm. You be hating on that man the way I be hating on Naomi. Okay. Like the way you was like, oh yeah, he don't have to talk. Oh yeah, great idea. He's not giving no promos. Ah, love it. Love it. No talking. Give me more of it. Give me more of that. Yeah, I see what you're doing. You're not slick. You're not slick.
It didn't used to be this way. You know, I used to like Solo, but this exposure in the last couple of months has rubbed me the wrong way. The aura has left him and it has jumped into Jacob Fatu, and it was already there with him. But the dude decided to get fit and get in the best shape of his freaking life and go out there and ball out at a higher level. So you got a slim down Jacob Fatu. You got Solo over here looking like Timu, Roman Reigns. That is over now. The Timu signs are out there. So it resonates, Paul Fontaine, okay? Dollar Tree Solo is a real thing. It is now mainstream. Timu all day. But the fact is, I got to pray on this desperately. But hey, you gave me a joke now. So a wild Samoan, a futuristic pirate, a cannibal, walked into a bar one night and things happened.
And then an original trout walked in and all hell broke
loose. Original trout.
An original trout walked in and all hell broke loose. Listen, the smoke you have for that man is it's something. It hasn't quite reached Gallus levels, but it is he's definitely on that Miz tier. You know, because you softened up on the Miz a little bit here recently. But he's definitely on that Miz tier for the shade that you have for him.
Listen, for all of Miz's many drawbacks in my eyes, the man is gonna do two things. He's gonna talk. And occasionally, he's going to deliver. Miz got more stars in a SummerSlam match than Solo will for this match. Facts. And that is the highest praise I can possibly give the Miz without completely losing my mind. So savor this moment. But yeah, the Solo hate, I love that guy on NXT. I loved him here in the beginning of the Bloodline. It's just until recently, this guy's exposure of just being mid has been out there for the world to see. And that makes me sad because I used to be on the Solo train. Like, go Solo, you next in line. And he has let me down. Wow.
Again, all right, I get it. I get it because I feel the same way about Naomi. I'm like, I get it. He's going to continue to get these opportunities, so we'll see what he does next.
And I'll be Naomi's greatest defender, and I have her number. And like I said, she's going to call you, and you can do a little audio recording to retract your statements and say, Naomi, I love you. You're the best. Feel the glow. You can do all that. But I have years of evidence on my side that will clearly dust you.
Shout out to TNA. Enjoyed her in TNA. Great TNA run.
It was a really good TNA run.
It was. It legitimately was a good TNA run.
It was. All right, so how many trouts I give this match? 3 trouts out of 5.
I had 3.5 trouts.
Okay, I gave it 3 trouts even. Mm-hmm. So now we do all the mathematics for this show. Scott, your final score for SummerSlam 2024 on a scale of 1 to 10 tiers.
Man, I'm not going to overhype it because of the Roman Reigns return. I thought there were a few things that could have been a lot better. There was really only two great matches on the card. And like I mentioned, R-Truth was a lone soldier. So I'm going to give this six and I'm going to give it six jelly rolls.
Six jelly rolls out of 10. Okay, I have to take in the totality of the card. We had some good developments in terms of storytelling, which I enjoy. We had two really good matches. Mm-hmm. One solid match, a couple decent ones here and there. I've seen a lot of praise for this show because we did get title changes. There is a passing of the torch, changing of the guard in some ways. And we got Roman back in the mix, which is going to help SmackDown a lot when they move to USA Network next month. I am going to go 6.5 trouts out of 10.
Okay. Can we get these trouts with some cheddar biscuits since we have Red Lobster as any year? Can I go ahead and get my trouts to go?
Listen, we can make that happen for sure. I was watching SmackDown last night and I noticed someone has been working out a lot lately on their biceps, and they also get an extra plate of cheddar biscuits.
Here we go. Who's that?
I cannot believe I'm saying this on the air.
Here we go.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but I was impressed. I cannot believe it's about to fall from my lips, but got to give it to Baron Corbin. Got to give it to him. I do.
Babyface Corbin doing things to these girls. Listen.
He is.
Babyface Corbin doing something to the ladies, man. Hey, let me tell you something. I will say, though, it was a choice to have Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews out there doing trimmers and those type of ads. what was the company that they was doing, and Otis out there shaving himself live on television.
That product placement was wild.
That was Baron Corbin told that dude, here's some dome for you. I was like, pause, bro. Like, pause, bro.
I'm just saying that the babyface Corbin experience hits different. I'm just saying.
Heel Corbin would have never said some ridiculous nonsense like that. And Apollo was all smiles, like, it's so good. It's so good. I was like,
there's nothing up there.
That's what I'm saying. What was it? Four men?
Whatever it was, it wasn't some type of
hair product, and they was out there just rubbing their bald head, and they was all excited. And then here come Otis and was like, let me show you the shaver. I'm sorry. I thought the random product placement, I guess this is what you get when you pay 99 cents for the Peacock.
Hey, I'm paying $5.99 and I still got that. So I was not immune to it. The Peacock was acting a little twitchy too because of the Olympics. Like, my feed froze up a couple of times. Like, oh God. Because, you know, the Olympics is dominating on Peacock, and that was probably the most live events Peacock has ever had in a day. And they didn't know what to do. So hopefully it held up for everybody watching at home. But yeah, it was an experience. That commercial was something. But shout out to Baron Corbin and his refined biceps. Congratulations to you. You look good. Babyface run. It does have an effect on the ladies. No lie. It does. Ain't no lie.
Been a big fan for a while. I'm actually happy he's getting some TV time. Him and Apollo Crews is a choice as a tag team.
It's a choice, I guess
it's because they're bald, but it is what it is. It's prejudice.
Wow.
But it is. Why are they attacking?
I have no earthly idea. Because
what do they have in common?
Well, see, they was in a locker room one night and they was cracking jokes on Legato, and Santos heard it and they said, what's up? What's good? And they've been like feuding ever since. So at least there's a backstory there. But for them to be an actual tag team in life, I don't get it. But I will say they do work well together.
They do.
They do. Like, Baron Corbin's got, like, sauce as a tag team wrestler.
I was just about to say, like, on the low, Baron Corbin is becoming a little bit of a specialist while people yes. playing. Like, him and Braun had a great team. Him and Apollo. Now, obviously, Apollo's a great wrestler in and of his own right. But, yeah, they do have a, they do form a good underneath tag team.
Yes. And I still want my damn Wolf Dogs reunion one day.
That's dead.
No, I want it back in my life. It was so good.
They're on two completely different trajectories right now. We'll never see Baron Corbin at that level with Braun again.
I know. It's heartbreaking because it was great. Like, that man deserves a bonus because he did help Braun get his personality even more over than it is right now. So maybe in a far off distant land, the Wolf Dogs will, you know, cross paths one day.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely cross paths. They'll definitely interact in the Royal Rumble, and Braun will spear him and throw him out the ring. For sure.
The cruelty of it all. All right. Well, with that, it's now time to put a bow on this live episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. I want to thank Salty, or I take that back, on this show. He's perky today, salty next week. Oh, no, I take that back. He'll be salty Tuesday when we go live again for night two of the Great American Bash and all the fallout from SummerSlam via Monday Night Raw, when my predictions come to pass regarding what Liv and Finn did to Judgment Day. We shall see about that. But overall, Scott, fun show, and thank you for joining me right here on YouTube tonight.
Thank you for having me, Keela. And as always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. We will see how the Faction happens with Judgment Day. But one thing we do know for sure, Judgment Day will never be the same. It is a brand new era, essentially, in WWE. I'm actually looking forward to see what they got in store for Monday Night Raw. And I am looking forward to night two of the Great American Bash. So good chance you'll see Perky on Tuesday night unless they completely just blow it.
To be determined. Placing bets now. Will we get Perky or Salty Scott live on YouTube on Tuesday night? We'll see about it. But I thought this was a good weekend for WWE to end new story, start anew with some new storylines, and kind of get focused for the fall. You're going to be moving SmackDown to USA Network. We got the last few months of Monday Night Raw on USA before the Netflix jump in January. You got NXT moving to the C-Dub in October. A lot of moving parts for WWE. New voice of Monday Night Raw, Joe Tessitore, will be joining Monday Night Raw on September 2nd. I presume Corey Graves will be his color commentator, and Michael Cole and Wade Barrett will run SmackDown. Pat McAfee will probably be doing college football for ESPN during the fall, and he'll pop back up sporadically during WrestleMania season. But I'm looking forward to what the fall has in store for WWE as we get ready for the next four big shows: Bash of Berlin, Bad Blood, Crown Jewel, and the final show of the year for WWE Survivor Series going down in Vancouver, November 30th.
Yeah, some big shows coming up. And like I mentioned, I'm very intrigued specifically with that Rollins, Punk, McIntyre, just how the cards play. Punk's got unfinished business with both of them. Curious to see how that plays out. So I'm really looking forward to Raw and seeing what some of these next chapters are going to be.
Me too. And we'll talk about it starting on Tuesday right here, back live on YouTube with another live edition of The Wrap for your viewing and listening pleasure via podcast form when the episode ends. So until Tuesday, enjoy your Sunday and enjoy Monday Night Raw on Sci-Fi on Monday as well. So for myself and Perky Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE for SummerSlam 2024 going down in Cleveland, Ohio. Take care and bye-bye.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards.
we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.